There is some aspects of 2024 reality that the audiences need to know.
We are heading for some bad times.
In India.
So Kamakhya corridor is being planned. Building a corridor on the hill can cause a lot of damage. After that, any descendant of that, forget coming to Kamakhya. Even if they look at the hill, negative things will start happening.
Pretty sure this clip is going to reach the government of India.
I'm sure that they won't be doing anything about it.
All of us feel a rise in Bhairav energy in the world generally.
Close to 51 lakh japa of Bhairav Nama Mantra happened on one Ashtami, last Ashtami. This exponential progression in 1 year is humanly not possible. I do have this idea. The idea is to create at least 8 Bhairava temples. One in Bengal, say one in Punjab, one in the north, one in Tamil Nadu, like this.
I want to be a part of it. I'm 100% sure there's so many people listening to this podcast right now who would gladly be a part of this construction.
With money, greed is a problem. So money is a particular thing where easily karmas get transferred.
Really?
Oh, very easily. The second most easiest thing.
You mean the way you make money?
The way you make money, the way you take money and everything.
But the thing is, when we're talking about Shaktipeets and the way they are geographically built as well as architecturally designed, there's something even more potent about them.
Actually, there are more than 51 pithas. But it is not always revealed to humans. This is the iconography of Ma Kamakhya. India's chart is not something I look at every day, but one day suddenly I was just going through the astrological chart and then I saw that something that's bound to happen.
You're not the first person I'm hearing say that. There's very little I need to say about Rajarshi Nandi to people who've already watched some of his episodes. For the very few who haven't, this is going to be a deep dive into the world of tantric philosophy as well as the world of deities. It was a very elaborate 3-hour conversation that we had to split up into 2 different episodes. The only thing I wish to say before letting you slip into this episode is that if you want a deeper form of Rajarshi Nandi's wisdom, there's a project we've worked on together. It's a part of my app called Level Supermind, which is linked down below. Very detailed guided meditations to help with your own evolution as well as the evolution of your mind. It's all about mind performance on Level Supermind. But for now, this is another special with Rajarshi Nandi on TRS, going in lots of different directions, but with the core thought of furthering the understanding of our universe. It's Rajarshi Nandi on TRS. Welcome back to another Rajarshi Nandi special of TRS. Namaste, sir. Jai Ma Kamakhya.
Jai Ma Kamakhya. Jai Bhairav Baba.
Jai Bhairav Baba. Jai Ma Tara. It's been 10 minutes since we stopped the last conversation, but it's been at least a week since the audience has seen you, perhaps months. So let's begin from where we left off in the last one.
Sure.
The general conversation we were having was about Bhairav.
Right.
The more general conversation we were having was about Tantra and the rise of deities. In the last episode, we compared the earthly realm to a playground. We said that every human is a child on the playground. Certain children, like Rajarshi Nandi, know more than the other children and are able to give them chits which teach them about the deities, which are the highest beings which are also present in the same playground. In the last conversation, we spoke about slightly lower beings and slightly higher beings and how they can also incarnate within this playground.
Right.
But we didn't speak enough about the deities.
Right.
My question to you is simple. We spoke about how post the pandemic has been a rise of Bhairav energy.
Yes.
All over India.
Absolutely.
I remember we also spoke about how it's been dormant for a very long time in... Yes. Modern Indian history. Bhairav worship has reduced in our country. And at the end of the day, the deities are so powerful that they themselves decide when they'll come to the forefront and interact with human life and affect human life.
Yes.
And all of us feel a rise in Bhairav energy in the world generally. I will let you begin this conversation wherever you like. Do you want to begin in 2020, 2021? Or would you actually... like to begin at the point where Bhairav decided to be dormant for some time in human culture.
So, you are right about that. I also specifically feel that there has been many centuries where the energy of Bhairava, Bhagavan Bhairava, has been more on the sidelines. Okay, so his, according to the sampradaya upasanas that used to happen, so Bhairava was not the Mula Devata. He was always the Kshetrapala or somebody of the guardian at the outside, things like that. And a lot of the worship happened in villages and rural settings where you will find just a stamba of Bhairava and some local practices which may or may not have a support from the scriptures, somebody doing it, etc. Now, there is definitely an upsurge in the consciousness of people and the energy of the play that Bhairava wants to do here. It's like he is more keen to interact. Let's put it this way.
What does that mean, more keen to interact?
More keen to interact means that his, when a deity is more keen, you will see that suddenly a lot of people are worshipping that deity. Suddenly there are many things happening due to worship of that deity, etc. Suddenly there is everybody speaking about deity. Okay, that means that these things do not govern. If you are a spiritual minded individual, these things are not orchestrated by any individual A, B, C, no. Others, people can be a nimitta, which means that an instrument of the deity, but the deity decides when, how, where, in what format, in what condition he wants an awakening of his consciousness among people. And that definitely has happened with respect to Bhagavan Bhairav. And what I have seen specifically, when I first came for this podcast, I've mentioned that before also. So I was not sure, in fact, whether I should come or not, etc. And I had a clear intuitive guidance that I have to appear. And then I checked and saw that the first date that was asked, was told to me, was Bhairav Jayanti. And I took that as a positive sign and I came along. I had no clue what to speak of, nothing, no idea, no preparation as always. And then I just gave the interview, went back. I had no expectation. What is going to happen out of this? No. What actually happened? I mean, various things happened. But the key thing for me, what happened after that? So before that also, I used to do Bhairava Upasana. I used to conduct retreats and guide a small group of people into different sadhanas. Bhairava sadhana primarily, along with other Devi sadhanas. So we used to collectively do certain practices on the Ashtami tithis. Ashtami is a tithi that is very important for Bhairava Baba. It was on an Ashtami in Krishna Paksha that Bhairava avatar manifested in this universe to show his play. So we used to collectively sit down, do japa, simple Om Bhairavaya Namah japa, offer some prasad bhog to Bhairava, and at the end of it, keep it outside the house so that some animal or something can consume it. Okay? That's the simplest process. Nothing complicated. Just one diya and one mala. And you do few malas of the Bhairav Mantra on Ashtami Dithis, every Ashtami. When we started, it was just a few thousand counts, not even thousand. I mean, it's very less amount of people, very less counts that was happening. In a span of 1 year, from that till last Krishna Paksha Ashtami, the amount of people who organically gathered together to do Bhairava Japa, close to 51 lakh Japa of Bhairav Nama Mantra happened on one Ashtami, last Ashtami. This kind of exponential progression in 1 year is humanly not possible. I know one, two individuals who thought that, oh, this is so interesting, this is too easily doable, isme kya hai? So they also tried to propagate the names of few deities whom they like. Nothing wrong in that. So they tried to ask people and go, and they have some kind of, little level of influence. What happened is it didn't take off. They tried for months and months and months. I mean, at the end of the day, they could convince 10 people, 15 people, 20 people, wo bhi do mahina baad chhod diya, etc., etc. Because the deity's will is not there. Until the deity's will is there, you can try as much as you want, it is not going to happen. This thing that happened is entirely organic. I had not foreseen this. I'll be lying if I tell you that, oh, I knew that this is going to happen. No. I was doing what was organically coming to me. I was guiding my set of people. And then the thought came that no, this Ashtami Tithi sadhana must be done at a larger scale. Whoever wants of his or her free will to join, let him join. There's no compulsion in these things. So we opened eventually a Telegram group. Anybody can join that group. Instructions are posted there. People post their photos also. Ki aaj humne ye sadhana kiya Baba ka, etc. Photo of Bhairav Baba, bhog, how many malas they have done. And eventually, getting 51 lakhs of Bhairava Japa on Ashtami Tithis. Along with that, then we started doing various kind of sevas on Ashtami in the name of Bhairava. Like there are multiple Veda Patshalas where we do Annadanam. So we feed the Brahmacharis and the people who are learning the Vedas on Ashtami. Before doing that, we take a Sankalpa. Sankalpa is basically...
Promise?
Promise that we are doing it for the sake of Bhairava so that there is an upsurge of Dharma. It's not for an individual. It's not for me, you, or anybody. So that Dharma increases in the world.
What does that mean?
So we want an upsurge of Dharma to happen. Dharma is spiritual righteousness. To put it down in a very simple format. And also that which helps sustain. And that which, if it rises, it also ensures that everybody is in a more positive orientation and development.
In the world?
My focus is India at the moment. I don't know about the world much and it doesn't play much role in my head. I am concerned about India and I feel and I know for a fact that we are at the edge of a particular time when an upsurge of Hindu Dharma will happen. So when I say Dharma, I specifically includes also the worship of these deities. And not just Bhairava, by the way. All other deities, various practices, etc. Once these happen, it will also uplift the lives of people. It will protect the nation because somehow or the other, this is the root culture here. And it has always been there. That's a reality that cannot be denied. Now, my point is, apart from the Annadanams that we do in various places, there are pujas that happen in Kal Bhairav temple in Kashi, pujas that happen in the Vatuk Bhairav temple in Kashi, pujas that happen in the Mahakal Ujjain temple. There are Rudrabhishekams that happen of Shiva. There are Brahmin bhojans that are done specifically. Sab ke liye sankalp is the same, that this is specifically done so that there's an awakening of dharma that happens. And I feel entirely, if Bhairav Baba wills it, this 51 lakhs japa that is happening, this should eventually go up to crores, not just 1 crore. Ek time aana chahiye when a country with a population of over 1 billion should have, a time should come when on the Ashtami Tithis, there should be at least 7 to 8 crores of japa.
How far away from that?
I don't know. That's his will. I'm not judging ki we have to do it now, tomorrow, day after, no. I want to create something that will be so strong that it will last for centuries. It is not dependent on human beings. It's not dependent on me. So it need not depend on Rajarshi Nandi. It's a process, a system that has to be set in place so that it goes on. And to create something that big, you cannot hurry. Take slow steps. And dhire dhire dhire, with the blessings of the deities, it will happen.
Since I've met you and since I've begun my Bhairav sadhana, of course there have been changes in my life and I've spoken about this on the show multiple times. I've made a whole podcast on it. Feel like material wishes have been fulfilled like pretty fast, but that's not the main blessing. The main blessing is detachment. But it's also created this additional life goal in my heart of contributing to creating some Bhairav of temples.
Yes.
I don't know why. It's nothing that you told me. You didn't tell me this. So it's just an independent thought that got created. I'm not even saying this from a non-secular place.
Right.
This is nothing to do with any other religion or the invasion of India. It's just my own childlike heart that wants to see a more Bhairav temples.
Correct.
It's also one of the reasons we're working on that project with Level.
Right.
Because we're trying to get more people to chant. And eventually the game plan is to monetize that in order to fund these temples. The construction of this.
Right.
How cool would it be if the temples are constructed in a year from now?
1 year is too short a time span. But I do have this idea that to create... in the last few months, during certain practices, this very clear idea came to my mind that, again, he wills it, then only it will happen. But the idea is to create at least eight Bhairava temples. I have the configuration in my head. What will be inside the temple? What kind of vigrahas will be there? How many vigrahas will be there? What is the methodology of worship? Puja kaise hona chahiye wahan pe? Kya paddhati hoga? Etc. etc. All that is just in a flash it came. This is how it is to be done. Should be 8 temples. But 8, if possible, in specific geographical locations. Say one in Bengal, say one in Punjab, one in the north somewhere, at the farthest corner, jahan pe ho sakta hai, one in Tamil Nadu, like this. I don't even know what are the other places. It'll come on its own, dheere dheere, as the practices grow. And perhaps inside the temple, there'll be another Devi Vigraha also, but that depends on the geography of the particular land where the temple is constructed. Inside that, I will not go into the detailed architecture that I have in my head, but what I feel is that if this project gets along, and it'll take time because obviously 8 temples are not and I want it to be not small temples. Right now, the Bhairava temples that you have, even the best ones, are very small, on the roadside, something like that. No, this should be something grand, something so exquisite, so beautiful, so powerful, both ritualistically and aesthetically, that for centuries it is going to help people connect to Bhairava Tattva. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that will happen is that his protection will start for the whole nation.
Okay. Can I add one small piece of tadka to this? The only visual I've had in my head is, so I have a couple of visuals and I'm not making this up. This is the first time I'm actually telling you this, despite having conversations with you outside of this room as well. My first vision is that I get a lowdown of details from you about the actual traditional way of creating the temples according to Tantra Sadhana. But the only thing I want to add here is one of my greatest experiences in life was when I went to Amsterdam and I went to this place called Vondelpark in Amsterdam, which is a local park. And people literally just use it to go there and connect with nature and chill. And I remember sitting in that park in 2015 or 16. It was a year into Beer Biceps. Thinking to myself that why don't we have more public spaces in India? And as life went forward, I realized we used to have public spaces in India and they were called temples.
Yes.
Big temples.
Yes.
In Mumbai, we only have Siddhivinayak, which is that big, where you can actually go and if it's not crowded, you'll get some time to sit there. And there is an experience when you actually just sit in Siddhivinayak. Right. You feel extremely calm. So my only tadka I want to add here is what you said about aesthetically. I think there's so many Bhairav worshippers now around me. I see some commonality in all of them, which is that many of them actually had a pretty rough past, which involves intoxication sometimes, lots of pain sometimes. So I want to build aesthetically such a place that not only does it contain Bhairav energy, but it also calms your mind into nothingness because of that Bhairav energy. So I have certain visions with this same project. Like, I want to be a part of it. I'm 100% sure there's so many people listening to this podcast right now who would gladly be a part of this construction. But a couple of questions to you.
Yes.
Of course, I'm going to ask you the call to action here for the listeners because lots of people want that. The first question I actually want to ask you is, how much money does it really cost to build one?
Money will come. That is not an issue. First, you have to create the environment through the japas and all that. Okay. Then this type of project, the right person for making the vigrahas, the right kind of yantra of Bhairava has to be placed. Not just the vigraha. Okay. Right method, right way of worship has to be there. Plus, every temple must have also an accommodation for a priest who should stay there and continuously worship. Because I may not be there all the time. I may go there once in a while. But there are a few other things in my head also, specific details that have come in. Let's see if Baba wants it will happen. And yes, the other factor that is there is the land, getting the land. Okay. That is the more challenging part, actually.
But those geographical locations you spoke about, this is very History Channel domain, but will it be kind of linked? Like, I recently found out, actually yesterday from Nilesh Oak, that Ujjain lies on the Tropic of Cancer. Which I found so fascinating.
No, so what I am looking at this moment, I still don't have a full idea of all the 8 places, but it has to be closer to the border areas.
Because Bhairav traditionally
he will protect the border areas. If this happens eventually in the long run, if this gets executed, it will have a very strong impact on, as I say, it will have an impact on the nation. It's not about an individual.
Protective impact, you mean?
And there are certain changes that are going to start in 2 years, 2.5 years in India. Period of 10, 15 years is going to be, that will require that type of energy.
Do you want to say anything?
No, I'll just say that Baki, whatever Baba wills it, if he wills it, will happen. So I go about all these things with a certain degree of enthusiasm along with detachment. Which means tomorrow, if it doesn't happen, it's fine. It's not going to affect my practice or my connection to him or anything like that. He is the boss. You, me, or anybody else is just an instrument. An instrument must always know that instrument ka aukaat instrument hi hai. The moment you start thinking, oh, you are doing it, you are so important, then things...
There's a part of me that feels a lot of positive aggression towards building it.
Yes.
Is that...
I feel that it will happen. I feel that it is a thing that is destined. It will happen. But it will take time. It is not a thing. I am also not in a hurry that it has to happen in 1 year. But it should start, at least one temple should start. And the timeline I have in mind is 8 to 10 years. Pura aato ke aat banne mein, at least 10 years lagega. There will always be, when you are starting a project of this, and with this intent in your mind, you can be rest assured, it will activate various Asuric forces. They will try and stop you.
Can you go on?
It is the nature of the world. It is the nature of the world.
If you try doing something good, then yes, something bad.
Will be some various other things. And that is, and the project of this also is the other. One has to be very cautious. All types of people may come. And with the idea that, no, we want to help and this, that. But you have to be very careful where you can take funds from. What are the expectations of those people? These are all tricky matters.
Okay. Can't believe we're doing this live on a podcast.
reminds me of a very interesting story. I remember when the Ramakrishna Mission was being formed many long ago, when Sri Ramakrishna was not there. I think his disciples were there. there was an anecdotal story that somebody, one businessman or something, used to come, and those eras used to put in a lot of money and say that I've brought this money, you take it. And one of the senior disciples of Sri Ramakrishna was himself very spiritually advanced. He would always very respectfully say, no, we don't need that money. Then later somebody asked him why. He said that that's because the man is not giving with a very clear intent. The reason he was donating that money is because somehow or the other he got this idea, or somebody told him that if you give this monk, some karmic problem that he's facing will go away. So he says, so money is a particular thing where easily karmas get transferred.
Really?
Oh, very easily. The second most easiest thing.
You mean the way you make money?
The way you take money and everything. Okay. Specifically for these kind of... Of course, you cannot filter everything. That's not possible humanly. But on a broad level, if there are people who are willing to, say, suddenly comes in, there may be a lot of people with a lot of money. I'm sure the world has a lot of rich people. Somebody thinks that I'll go and give a huge amount. So it is always better to not rush into that. Think about it, meditate on that, and follow the guidance that comes from the deities. Do not use your own mind. Do not... With money, greed is a problem. You have to be very careful. It is all right if the temple takes 20 years. No need to rush. And in fact, without naming anybody, I was having this discussion with a spiritual friend of mine some days ago. And that's for generic spiritual organizations. All the ones that I see today. As such, I have nothing for, against, nothing with them, neither with their practitioners. My best of luck to them. Please carry on whatever you're doing. If it's helping you, very good. But whenever there's a spiritual organization and it takes an exponential jump materialistically, like suddenly there's an explosion of ashrams everywhere and there's a huge amount of money involved and this and that. And that's an exponential jump. Okay. Which normal course may, it is not that easy to make that kind of materialistic jump. My deepest hunch is that there are some other forces involved in it. Not only deities.
Oh,
no deity, nobody gives you exponential amount of money at a very short time. Nobody, no deity will give you that. But lower beings can, if you engage with them. So that's the question I ask. When Ramakrishna Mission, that's, I consider them to be reasonably so spiritual and authentic. So there, if you read the history, they had to struggle for money. Swami Vivekananda's samadhi They say that it took decades before they could gather the money to make a small... You go there to Belur Mot, you'll see the Samadhi of Swamiji that is there. So it took a lot of money, time and effort. Go back even earlier, say when the traditional mathas are there. When, say the when Adi Shankara must have created his matha. I'm just
saying. Sure.
How long would it have taken for them to establish an organization, to establish a practice, establish the materialistic aspect? How long might it have taken? Nothing good comes at this pace. If you're going very fast, then one day the fall will also be equally fast. That is a thumb rule of nature, and it is never ever going to get violated.
Are you suggesting that again lower beings are involved possibly?
I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just saying.
You're saying.
I'm just saying that whenever I see an exponential growth of
power
in a spiritual organization and material assets and all that, exponential growth, not normal growth, so like it's going at a certain pace and then suddenly in a span of 5-10 years it goes everywhere in the world, pata nahi Mars mein bana diya ek ashram types, huh? So then my first thought is that which deity gave this? Even Mahalakshmi will also not give you that amount of money in that small span of time. If you're a businessman and you have done well, that I understand. That process can give you. And that I recognize also. You might have done either or that thora corruption, that's okay. That I understand. But if you're confessing that, oh, I'm just worshipping the Brahman and I don't look at here, there, but I have 150 ashrams, 10 in Moon and 3 in Mars. So then I think, yahan se kaise ban gaya? Kahan se basa hai?
Wow. I think for this particular episode, we're going to stick to the subject of India generally as a kshetra.
Right.
Do you want to begin by telling us what a kshetra is and how is it even related to our favorite subject, Tantra?
Yes.
What's the correlation? Because even the core thought behind these Bhairav Mandirs is protecting the kshetra.
Yes.
What else? Like, geographically, when we speak about the subcontinent, I have a couple of questions for you. One is, what is a kshetra? Where are we going? Two, if you could just touch upon the astrological angle for a kshetra as well.
Okay. So, kshetra is fundamentally a geographical area where a deity or a divine force decides to interact or stay. Okay. So, that is a kshetra of the deity. It's like a house of the deity. Okay. And so, for example, Kashi is a kshetra of Shiva. Kamakhya is a kshetra of Kamakhya, Mahakamakhya. Ujjain is a kshetra of Mahakal. Okay. Similarly, Vrindavan is a kshetra of Krishna. He was born there and all that. So basically, an area which has the imprint of the Devata's Shakti. Okay. And these areas are carefully chosen. It cannot be random. Specifically going to Shakta Dharma is more specifically worship of Shakti. Let's consider that as a Shakta Dharma. And that is something I consider very close to my heart, because somehow or the other I feel that there is a dip in the Shakta Dharma that has happened in India.
Really?
It has to increase more. In its true grandeur, without getting sublimated through other dharmas. Which means, as I was speaking, there are a lot of people who worship Devi, but their fundamental attitude or their fundamental nature through which the paddhati in which they approach worship of Devi is more or less either kind of loose Vaishnavism or something like that. I want, if she wills it, a time when Shakta Dharma in its true essence comes in. And that would involve, obviously, the primary things is Tantra Shastras. Tantra Shastra and the Shakta Agamas, without looking into them, without recommendations that they suggest, if that is not being done, then it is not Shakta Dharma. Okay, it's difficult to explain. Say, I'm speaking to you in English, but still I'm an Indian, right? I'm not a foreigner. So it is like that. So I'm saying that I worship Ma Durga, but all the tendencies and the methods I'm using to do the worship, etc., is more or less a loose Vaishnavism, a loose Puranic method and something not confirmed to the core tantric methods and all. Tantra is, right now as it is there, is the path of the mother. She loves it. Make no mistake about it. Great siddhas have come in the tantric path and it is her domain. Okay. So eventually, if she wills it, if Ma Kamakhya wills it, there will be an upsurge in more acceptance and practice of Tantra Sadhana in India. Maybe, I don't know when, 10 years, 15 years, 50 years, whenever it happens, she wills it. But perhaps the time has come now. And somehow, worship of Bhairava is a precursor to that. Until Bhairava comes in and he clears the path, the real Tantra Sadhana Shakta Dharma doesn't arise in that format. He is the first one.
Is there like a duration?
Not in our domain. They know. So, Kshetra is basically an area that holds the energy of the deity. When it comes to Shakta Dharma or Shakti Upasana, there are 51 Shakti Pithas. We know that. So, these Shakti Pithas were created by the mythological, the Puranic story that we have is the when Sati went to the Dakshayagya and she self-immolated, then Shiva got very angry. He carried the dead body of Sati and he danced around in anger and grief. And then Lord Vishnu comes and he cuts the body into parts. And those 51 parts fall in different areas across India, some in Bangladesh, some in Pakistan area and all that also is there. And each of them becomes a Shakti Pitha. Okay. Now, 51 is a very crucial number. 51 is also linked to the matrikas, the alphabets in Sanskrit. Each of the Sanskrit alphabet is a deity, a matrika. Speech is a devata. Speech is a deity.
Wow.
Matrikas are the deity. The alphabets are the deity. Your knowledge of the language determines how much you can think. If you cannot name something, you don't know what it is. The moment you can name a thing, you have some power over it. That which you cannot name, the indefinable, you have no power over the indefinable. Okay. Name means quality. Some attachment aagya. Jitna bhi, even if it's minor thing. So these 51, therefore, are the Shakti Pithas. And these Shakti Pithas are governed also by certain geographical markers. There are certain texts, tantras, and traditional knowledge which tells you where certain areas are fit to become Shakti Pithas. For example, if there is a cremation ground close by, if there is a north flowing river, a river that is flowing towards northern direction, okay, and if there is a Kurma Prishtha Yami, which means like the back of a tortoise, Kurma Prishtha, Kurma is tortoise, Prishtha is back, like this kind of a land. If these three converge together, then that area is extremely good for Shakti Upasana. So like this, various places were marked as Shakti Pithas. Kamakhya, for example, is one of the most powerful Shakti Pithas we know of. Okay? And it is the Kshetra of Bhagavati Kamakhya, that Neelachal Parvat. In fact, historically, there's a story how in between, actually Kamakhya is so old that, I don't know, it must be more than 3000 years old. It's older than, it's from the time when the Mahabharata was there. It was from a time when the Vedas were not yet classified. So Vedas were orally transmitted. The classification of the Veda into the Vedatraya happened some amount of time later. It's possible that the Pitha of Kamakhya existed from that time or perhaps even older than that. So that's continuously existing Pitha. That's why it's the most revered of all Shakti Pithas. And also it is the Yoni Pitha, where the Yoni of the mother had fallen. Okay. So Kshetra is primarily an area where the deity resides. Okay, deity is energy, his or her. And that is, I am talking about Shakti Pithas. It could be Mahakal is like, Ujjain is Mahakal Kshetra. Okay, like that. It could be Vaishnava Kshetras also. The deity's energy is most easily present in that Kshetra. And in order to keep that energy intact, in order that humans can benefit from that energy, so we create temples according to the Shastras. We follow ritual paddhatis of worship of the deity that keeps the power alive and active at that point, that specific area. And if all rules are followed, for hundreds, for thousands of years, people can come and benefit spiritually from that space.
One small pause. Basically, when you go to a temple and you pray to a murti, now that temple could be anywhere, it could be small, but if lots and lots of human beings go to those temples with their wishes and their faith, they leave an aspect of themselves in that temple, at least.
Yeah.
Which is why when you go to any temple anywhere in the world or any place of worship, you do feel, for lack of better words, a vibe in the air.
Right.
But the thing is, when we're talking about Shakti Peeths and the way they are geographically built, as well as architecturally designed,
there's something even more potent about
Correct.
It. You said 51 existed. Many of them were destroyed.
Yes.
Because they were outside of the Indian border.
Yeah.
I would wonder if they used to stretch as far as maybe even beyond the Middle East.
I don't know. I don't think it was that far. There's another spiritual lore that says that actually there are more than 51 pithas, but it is not always revealed to humans.
But it's on Earth.
It's like this. So these things are governed. So as I mentioned to you, when the deity wills ki, okay, let's unveil a new pitha, a new place. Okay, the environment is right, the time is right, the people are right. Something may rise up. So, there are pithas which were there in Pakistan and all that in Bangladesh, and most likely some are existent, some might have been destroyed. So there's the Hinglaj Shakti Pitha in Pakistan on the border areas of, I think, Afghanistan or somewhere, Pakistan-Afghanistan border. So obviously those are on very dilapidated conditions, even if they exist.
We have knowledge about them at least.
The Hinglas you can find on Google also.
I mean, like, it's all compiled ki where the 51 were.
Yes, there are tantras which mention all the 51.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that is there.
And they were all roughly in the subcontinental region.
They were in the subcontinent. In fact, and not just subcontinent, a lot of them were in the Bengal, Bihar, Bangladesh, those regions. Because Shakti Upasana, Tantra Upasana primarily was a focus in these areas. She was the primary deity there.
Hmm.
Okay, so these pithas are linked to Tantra Sadhana.
Gotcha. You want to talk a little bit about Kamakhya right now?
Yeah. So, Kamakhya is one of the most ancient Shakti Pithas, as I mentioned. And it has... in between, there was a phase when the temple was... people did not know where Kamakhya Pitha was. There's a story that says one of the kings who had lost his kingdom, he came to the hill... came to a hill and then he was staying there, and he was running away because he had lost his kingdom. And then there's an old woman sitting there and tells him that, why don't you sacrifice a goat there, and you'll get back what you want. He does that. Within 6 months he gains back his own kingdom, and then he gathers a group of people and pandits from everywhere, Varanasi to Bengal. And they come to that particular hill and they start digging that, what is this place? And after digging, they find a cave inside. And that is, then they decide, this is the famed Kamakhya temple, Kamakhya Pitha, which was there. And for a period of, some phase of time, not too long, about 100 years or 200 years perhaps, it was not known in the geography, in the sense people did not know that it was there. So this, it is just outside of the, a little bit outside of Guwahati city. Kamakhya Pitha. And it is the foremost of all Shakti Pithas. It's incredible. The Pitha is very powerful. The hill itself on which the Pitha rests is the body of the deity, by the way. The hill is, when you see the iconography of Kamakhya Devi, you'll see that there is a lion and then there is a...
Just 1 second. Atharva, pull up.
So this is the icon of Ma Kamakhya, deity.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, in this, you'll see that there's a lion. On that, there is a white person. Okay.
It looks like Shiva.
I'll explain. And then there is a lotus. And on that, she is sitting. Okay. So here, the lion is actually Vishnu. He takes up the form of a lion. Okay. And that is Shiva, who takes up the form of like a preth. Like he becomes like a preth, okay?
A ghost.
Preta, but it's Shiva actually. And it's called Pretasana. And on that, there is the lotus.
Hmm.
That is Brahma. On that sits Kamakhya. And these three beings, the lion, the Shiva, Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara, this is the mountain. The mountain itself is these three beings. And also Bhairava. And on that, on top of that is Kamakhya. Wow. She has 6 faces, okay, and 12 arms. And there are a lot of weapons in there. And here in this iconography, they're shown Brahma and Vishnu this side just to make it understanding to people. But there is also the Radha iconography is described as Lakshmi and Saraswati. Or Matangi and Kamalatmika, two other Mahavidyas, they sit right next to her and keep looking at her. And these are all spiritually significant, by the way. It's not randomly done. So this iconography of the mother, which means that the hill itself is sacred. Hmm. Because the hill is the asana. These are the three deities on the hill. Okay.
Hmm.
And on that is Devi Kamakhya, who has six faces. These six faces are six forms of the mother. And they have their own tantra and their paddhatis.
Each of the faces.
And which means that you can approach her through any of these forms. She can be approached as Chamunda. She can be approached as Durga. She can be approached as Kameshwari. She can be approached as Tripur Sundari. In some sampradayas, she is worshipped as Aghora Kali. Okay. And then in the normal, the standard paddhati in which the priests worship her, she is worshipped as Tripur Sundari. Okay. This is Kamakhya. She is this collective of all these deities, and yet when you go enter into the put Kamakhya temple, so you won't have a picture of the Garbhagriha because the photos are not allowed there, but just put Kamakhya temple. So that first dome that you can see
on the left
first one, yes, this one. So right under this is the Garbhagriha,
gotcha,
of the mother. Okay. And this is the Nat Mandir, where various puja part, etc. happens. Right next to it, there's a smaller dome, you can see. Hmm. That is where the Utsav Murti is kept. There's a Vigraha also of Kameshwari, Kameshwar. Okay, that is kept there, which itself is many centuries old. The Yogini Tantra mentions that Vigraha is very powerful and, you know, what to do and things like that. And the main thing is, inside that first dome, there is an underground cave. In that cave, there is a natural formation of a yoni. And there is a water that comes out. Okay. The texts also describe that inside there are Ashtabhairavas carved around in that cave. And there is a Shivalinga also somewhere.
We won't be able to find images of it.
No, no photo is allowed inside the sanctum. So all these other photos that you see claiming to be Kamakhya are not Kamakhya actually. So people have just randomly put them. The thing is, people go inside that Garbhagriha, inside that first dome. And you take some water from that spring and you drink that water and you sprinkle on your head. That is called Sparsha Darshan. The most important thing in Kamakhya is Sparsha Darshan, not just Namaskara. Other places you go and do Namaskara. Here you have to drink that water.
Hmm.
That water, the moment you take in that water, you sprinkle on your head and all that. That is the worship of the mother. That is the first thing. That is the darshan of the mother is complete.
Keeping little geology in mind, where is that water coming from?
There is an underground perennial source of water in the hill.
Somewhere inside the hill.
Yes. And now, see, this is not Kamakhya actually. So this somebody has created in the net. Very easily people think that this is Kamakhya temple specifically. But inside the Garbhagriha, there are no photos. Apart from this, this is the Kamakhya temple. There are the 10 Mahavidya temples are on the hill. There is a Kali temple. There's a Tara temple. So just give a search there.
Kamakhya Hill
temples. I don't know if you have it. This third one you see, this is the Tara temple.
Gotcha.
Okay. Just before you enter the Ma Kamakhya main pressings, Prangan, before that on the right hand side, a little bit elevated, this Tara.
I have a tangential question
Related
to temples in general, because there was a text I'd read on the domes and the monoliths above temples. There is a purpose to those.
Yes.
Why is the roof of temples like this?
No, so roof of temples can change depending on the architectural style. But I feel generally, and I'm not an expert on the temple architecture. There are other people who know that. So different styles were presented during different eras and different kingdoms and different geographical locations. So you'll not find the dome structure everywhere. It is more or less, I've seen in the Bengal side, definitely there is a lot of the Eastern India side. But this creates a very strong meditative experience. If you get time inside that kind of a space which has a dome, okay, and there is a Vigraha Pratishthit inside there, if you meditate it, produces a super strong experience, meditative experience. Mm. And I have had many nice experiences in this Tara temple many times.
Yeah.
The deity is very powerful.
what we spoke about, how any temple collects prana from the people who visit it?
No, not really. So by what happens is temple gives prana to the people.
But don't the people also kind of contribute?
No, the people who contributes, the one who is doing the archana, the puja paddhatis are done so that there's a replenishment of the prana.
Okay.
That the energy of the deity remains intact.
Fair to say that the mantra is the actual source of the prana?
Yes. And in the case of Shakti Pitas like this, even before the mantra, this is what, as I told you, it's like 3000 years or maybe older than that. God knows how old is Kamakhya. The deity's presence was even before the mantras were there. It's that ancient. Mantras are a way in which we humanly interact with something so powerful. Okay.
Do you quickly want to talk about the Kamakhya corridor situation right now? Because we've already spoken about the temple. I have many more questions about Tantra in general, but there is some aspects of 2024 reality that the audiences need to know.
Right.
So over to you, RN.
So Kamakhya corridor is like in the other temple areas, there's a corridor that is being planned. And my knowledge of it comes particularly from various videos that were tweeted about it by the Prime Minister and by the CM of the state, etc., like many other people. So a group of upasakas that I have, so we have an apprehension that building a corridor on the hill can cause a lot of damage to the existing existing spiritual sanctity of the place. The reason being that, so first of all, we are not against development. So the whole thing is, as I mentioned, in Kamakhya, unlike in other places, when you are making a structure in a plain land, that is one thing. Okay, no problem. When it is a hilly area and you are making a structure that involves significant amount of digging underground. So we even went through all the publicly available documents and etc. And more or less, once we got it read through some people who have the engineering knowledge for this, it was very apparent that they plan to make some structures with basements which would require close to 10-15 feet of digging on the mountain. So if you're doing 15 feet of drilling, that too, piling method and all that, it is going to almost certainly affect the flow of water underneath. And that is the most damaging thing that you can do. So in the whole process, first of all, attempting, in my opinion, the whole idea of trying to touristify everything itself is problematic in the first place. That shows that you have not understood the fundamental essence of what is being done. Why this place is what it is. And what is the paddhatis, why it is to be kept different. A place that has existed for 3000 years can be destroyed or can be tampered by the foolishness of 1 year of human idiocy.
You know, I say this with all the respect for Ma Kamakhya, but I'm going to say something cinematic. Have you seen The Mummy, where they unlock that pharaoh's tomb and then a curse is released?
I think I'd seen long back.
I mean, this is a common trope for a lot of thriller films. We don't know the kind of ancient energies we're messing with.
If absolutely.
We affect the area surrounding the Kamakhya Devi temple.
Yes.
Should leave it as it is.
In my opinion, again, to complete what I was saying, so the basic idea is that, the government has also mentioned that we are not going to destroy or tamper with any of the temples. So, but that's not the point. The Kamakhya, the most important thing is the water flow. And that is exactly the same with all kinds of temples or devalayas or kshetras that are there in ecologically sensitive areas. Okay. That is very different from what you have on the plain lands. So if you're doing that type of digging, that type of building construction, it is 100% very likely that the water flow will get affected. If the water flow gets affected, the pitha is going to get affected. And I'm not even talking about the 100 other things that are possible.
Okay. Like?
For example, as I said, Kamakhya Pitha has a certain decorum. So if you really want to develop a Pitha and you have the best intent of people in mind and you don't want to turn a Pitha into a Disneyland, if that's your idea, then it's a very different thing. Many people have that idea. Means we'll do developments. We want a Disneyland everywhere. Some glitzy, shiny thing is there. Bahut accha. Then you educate people about Tantra Shastra. You educate people how to do the upasana of the deity. You make राइट इट्स अ हिलॉक राइट डाउन ऑन द बेसमेंट यू मेक 100 स्टोरी बिल्डिंग क्या फर्क पड़ रहा है वो तो अच्छा है इट इज गुड फॉर द डेवलपमेंट गुड फॉर स्टेट सब कुछ देन यू टीच देम हाउ टू डू साधना ऑफ दैट डेट यू एक्सप्लेन टू दैट यू एक्सप्लेन व्हाट आर द पद्धतिज व्हाट आर द प्रोटोकॉल्स टू बी फॉलोड हाव द पीपल they don't even know the paddhati that is followed in Kamakhya in eastern India when we offer karan to the mother and etc if you really want to do something good with the pitha you explain to them you explain all these things to them you make jitna building banana down on below the hill you make anything you want but any process that is done on the hill without first a study of the hydrology of the hill and the ecology of the hill is definitely going to damage the spiritual sanctity of the place And I feel that every dharmic should inform their representatives or the government or whoever it is that you should not venture into this without first a thorough ecological and hydrological study. That is mandatory because Kamakhya without that water is nothing. It is the spring inside that is the life source of Kamakhya.
I would assume that the government has probably just not been educated about the things that you are saying.
I don't know, which is very surprising because you are the government of India. You have enough people, you have enough money, you have enough time. Who has stopped you from doing all these things?
It's probably the momentum of this whole temple rebuild thing that is making them overlook this. Because the other alternative to my current theory is that someone has told the people in power that don't do this. You'll mess with the deity if you do this. And they're like, I'm more powerful. My thoughts are more powerful.
Yeah, human beings sometimes can become very... The other thing is, and not just that, during the course of this this thing, I was kind of busy with this for some period of time. So 10-15 of us eventually, when we did not find an alternative, we filed a case in the Supreme Court also as a PIL and in the Guwahati High Court. Again, the idea is not that we are against development. Please do as much development as you want right below the hill. Who's stopping you? That's wonderful. More people will come. They'll get educated. It's great to know about Tantra Shastras and the significance and the beauty and power of Maa Kamakhya. But not in the way that you destroy that place in the name of development. That is not development. Mm. That is destruction. Okay. Then that is stupidity.
What will the deity go through?
I don't know. But I know this much that during this course of this last few months, when actually I was totally busy with this thing, etc., there were some at least three different Deva Prashnas were done. The Deva Prashna is a kind of astrological process to know that what is the implication. And more or less it came that there will be, because this temple is located in the northeast of India, and a deity like that doesn't want that type of a massive destruction happening on the hill. Or tampering of the water flow or anything. If it gets affected, then it can have a repercussion for the whole of the country at different places. And often this is not easy to link, by the way. Why is it not easy to link? Because unless your mind is very sharp, something in Vastu Shastra, the northeast is the area of the divine energy. You do some mess in the northeast of your home, your whole house will have complete lack of peace. Lack of peace means it could be anything. Some trouble here, some trouble there, God knows what. I don't even know. Okay. So those came in. So that is why, so there was a very clear guidance that came in during the Prashnas that as a devotee, that's the max you can do, that you can file a case and then see if you win or lose. It's my win. I don't even know what winning means, to be honest. This is not a personal matter for any individual. 13 of us who are devotees of Maa Kamakhya from different parts of India. Because remember, the deity is not just one individual. Anybody who has faith, it is hers. It belongs to the devotee in the first instance. Okay. So, without taking those sentiments into account, just in the name of development, causing something that breaks a 3,000-year-old tradition without... I don't know if there's anything more foolish than that. And in Kamakhya, there is a very old story that is there. You can find it on the Google also. There was this, the Kuchbihar kings, there were two famous kings, Naranarayan, who was a great upasaka of Maa Kamakhya, they say. And there used to be a priest who had the ability to... So at night, Maa Kamakhya is to dance inside the Garbhagriha, they say. Okay. And the priest used to worship her midnight, eyes closed. No one was allowed to see her. The king, and this is like I'm saying 500-600 years ago. And everything that I'm saying, you can do a Google and you'll find it. It's all easily available internet information. And the king was very desperate, ki nahi mujhe bhi dekhna hai. And he kind of perhaps bribed the priest or something like that and said that I also want to see. And the priest took him inside at midnight. And the deity got furious because of the breach of protocol, what is to be done, etc. They say that the priest's head was found next day in his house. They say, and the king, not only was he thrown out, till today, the descendants of that royal family, when they go even by a train close to the hills, they put an umbrella so that by mistake also their vision does not fall on the hill. She gave a curse that after that, any descendant of that, forget coming to Kamakhya, even if they look at the hill, negative things will start happening. And till this date, it is followed. And they were a royal family. I'm sure they had contacts and everything. It is what it is. The anger of a deity of that caliber, it is to be superbly foolish to play with fire like that.
Eternal anger.
Oh, you don't know. She's 3,000 years old. Politics, India, this party, that party, these are all blips. They come and go. For her point of view, kuch nahi hai sab.
Man.
So I don't know what this will happen. As a devotee, that is the max I can do. I look at it as a seva to the mother. That's all. Finally, she will decide what she wants. I have no clue. I'm only as a simple devotee, because I don't even live there. I'm not a priest there, nothing. As a devotee and a group of devotees, we file this and then let's see.
Is there any call to action for listeners?
No, I have published a petition sort of in change.org just to bring more awareness about this. But I don't, I think what people can do is perhaps talk to their representatives in the government or their local, if anybody has any idea, that this is perhaps something they should reconsider, and they should ensure that there is, if you want to do development, do it just below the hill. No one is stopping you. You make whatever you want. Now you can make a full 100-story building also. It'll be wonderful. You'll have employment. You'll have glitz, glamour, whatever. Jo tumhe lagta hai development ka, tumhara jo definition hai, sab ho jayega. But ensure that the water flow is not disturbed by excessive digging on the hill. Demolition activities.
I'm pretty sure this clip is going to reach the government of India.
I'm sure that they won't be doing anything about it. I'm sure they're already aware of all this.
Really?
I don't have much hopes on them, to be honest.
So you think that this construction situation is going to go forward anyway?
I think it's going to go forward. I think we are heading for some bad times.
In India?
Hmm.
No solution?
I don't run the universe. I'm just an ordinary person. I have made peace with what it is. And I also know that what is the dharma here? My dharma is to do this. And I will do this. In between, while organizing, for the lawyers and things like that, funds, etc. Lot of other things happened in between. I won't go into its whole saga in itself. Many people left and things like that. All right, that's fine. But I was very clear the moment this guidance came that this is what has to be done. Whether the case gets thrown out or all, doesn't matter. For me, it is seva to the deity.
What was the word you used? Astrological deva prediction?
Deva prashna.
Deva Prashna.
Hmm.
I got reminded of Ouija board,
No, that's the other thing.
I mean, to contact negative beings, there is devices like the Ouija board. Hmm. Here, this is a technique to contact deities.
So this is a kind of there's something popular in South India. North India doesn't know this process well. It's called an Ashtamangala Prashna. There are 8 different things that are used, and it can go on for days also. There are people who are experts in this, where basically they will predict using a bunch of kauris and different 8 different items, some of gold and some vibhuti and various things, specific things are needed. And Deva Prashna is basically to know what the deity is saying, what the deity wants, okay, wants done. It could be either the will of a deity, or it could even be what a deity is instructing that this XYZ should be done. And only people who are specialized in this, who are very tuned to this, who have a very strong level of intuitive ability, can do this Deva Prashna. It is not done anywhere and everywhere. I think it's traditionally done in some people who know this or who have the art of it. So I found it very impressive when the Deva Prashna was 2 or 3 of them were 3 readings were taken, different through different people, three different. One where I was present, and the other which somebody I knew had gotten done and told me the conclusions. But the one that I was present, more or less, everything that was predicted, kind of that XYZ is going to happen, that is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. I saw, I would say, a 98% accuracy of that. I mean, even the smallest of things. I won't go into details. It was like, so after so many months, this is going to happen, X, Y, Z, etc., etc., etc. So when I started Deva Prashna, I remember there were some people in the room when the Prashna was happening. I thought that they would be a part of this. Then I have a recording of it also, by the way, with me. And it was very clear that those who are sitting in the room, these people are not the ones. Somebody else, other people will join you in this. And I asked that person then various other things, like... to give you a simple example, I don't want to divulge too much of it right now. We were told, in the Prashna, it was told that you'll file first in the Supreme Court. Our lawyer was quite keen, that quite sure that, you know, once we file in the Supreme Court, Supreme Court will accept it. But the Prashna reading, the gentleman who were doing the reading had said that you'll go to the Supreme Court, you'll get rejected from there. You'll have to come to the High Court. There are a few other steps also was mentioned, etc. And it's exactly what happened. While going to the court, Supreme Court, we were pretty certain, even our lawyer was certain that it will get accepted by the Supreme Court. But the court told us, no, you go first to Guwahati and then we will see and things like that. Even smaller, minor details, people who were not present at the moment, there was this specific individual who has to, must be part of the petition. But more or less what I saw is that in terms of objective analysis of the accuracy of prediction, it was more than 98%. It was terrific. So this process in general, though, is used in especially South Indian temples often, I think. Maybe not Vaishnava temples, I'm not sure. But at least in Shakta temples and Shaiva temples, perhaps this is used as a kind of method to get a guidance on what to be done. And once you do it, I think it's very good process in the sense that if there are large temples, every 10 years, they should once conduct this kind of a prashna. It should be done officially with the temple, not just average individuals. Official invitation has to be given to the people. And they should be conducting that. And that will give you whether, even smallest of things, like you have a particular process, this time you do some archana, that time there is a line. Deity can tell you that this is right or wrong. Do I want this? No. Do I don't want this? Etc. And during that prashna, I remember I had asked that gentleman, that should I go ahead with this? Because I had that mind, the idea that if nothing works, we have to go for a court case eventually. And he was very clear that yes, this is what the deity wills, that the case has to go. Win or lose, I also don't know. But again, as I say, I look at it as a seva. Rest, it's her will.
Can we go back to that point where we were talking about how geographical regions also have an astrological chart?
So that is a part of mundane Jyotisha where geographical regions do have an astrological chart. I haven't delved too deeply into it, or I don't go too much into that type of prediction. But yes, there are many astrological classics, specifically when predicting, say, effect of eclipses and all that. These things come into play very strongly, that there are, whether there's a grahan that is happening at a particular place and this and that, etc., may have an impact on this type of a land. May have an impact on that type of a land. So accordingly, one can map that this area of the world is going to get affected, that area. So they have grahas, they have rashis linked to different geographical locations.
The one thing I know about astrologers is that an astrologer will always bring his or her own personality into the astrological reading. Always. That's what separates one astrologer from the other.
Yes.
And two astrologers might read the same chart very differently.
Correct.
Depending on their own personality. Correct. I also know that you gave us one of our most stellar episodes in that Astrology 101 basics.
Mm.
Again, I'm not going to ask you about the details of astrology because of that one episode. Mm. And I point everyone who's not seen that episode towards it.
Mm.
What I do wish to ask you about is India. Because obviously multiple astrologers would have predicted things about India based on India's astrological chart. Mm. And mostly on the internet, when you predict positive things, that's what gets you the views.
Mm.
Nationalism gets you the views on the Indian internet. Mm. Have you ever looked at the India chart yourself?
I have. India's formation chart.
considering this whole situation we were talking about right now, about the Kamakhya Devi corridor being built and how it will have implications on India, that kind of a situation will alter the chart slightly, right?
No. So it doesn't alter the chart. The chart is the formation of India as the current, the state of India is from the time when 1947, when it was formed at that time. So that shows a certain overall tendency.
Okay.
Tendency. But coming to when we were discussing on Bhairava, there is a change that will happen in 1-2 years, and that change will last for at least 10 years, and that will accelerate the upasana and the energy and the impact of Bhairava sadhana on India very strongly.
Okay, that fine.
There's no doubt in my mind about it, and I found it a very happy coincidence. Because so India's chart is not something I look at every day, but one day suddenly I was just going through the astrological chart, and then I saw that this is it's something that's bound to happen.
Is there like a general economic prediction at least?
There can be economic and all that prediction, but I'll not go into that. But India is going to. So I feel there are two aspects to astrology. One is that key is the predictive aspect. But more interesting than the predictive aspect is the corrective aspect. Corrective aspect is what we call the remedies, the pariharams, and the upayas. So when the texts of astrology, Jyotish, are mentioned, they also tell you how to overcome the situation, what needs to be done. Okay, that is very important. So in the coming 10-15 years, India is going to grow stronger. Okay, stronger means it will shed off that image of being a soft state. It will become a very strong state in terms of police and military and other things. Things are going to become stricter than what we are accustomed to experience right now. And that environment will start off like that. And that energy is going to shift completely in this country. Okay, and that is precisely why I feel that it's not a coincidence that just before that kind of a change is about to come, 1-2 years before that, there's an upsurge in Bhairava sadhana. He is the right kind of deity he is the best deity who controls police activities like that, your military and things. Ultimate. Baba's blessing is there means you will not easily lose.
What's the word for both police and military put together? Security. Perhaps.
Security, overall.
Benefits the security forces.
It benefits the security forces. It ensures that your shatrus they cannot harm you too much.
While what you're saying sounds positive, the negative I take out of what you're saying is, why would we have to actually become more intense from a security perspective? Obviously, that means your neighborhood is going to become more intense.
Neighborhood will become more volatile.
Volatile.
Yeah.
Okay.
And not just the neighborhood. It's possible that the 10-15 years from now, not necessarily in this 10 years, but after that also, there are certain phases when there would be internal security threats. Perhaps. I very cautiously add the word perhaps. Because exact future kisi ko nahi pata. Perhaps we might face situations of strong interreligious conflicts.
You're not the first person I'm hearing say that.
It's just building up.
The tension is building up for sure.
Yeah, and it will burst out after some years. It'll be pretty bad. And it is not just India. There'll be foreign players also putting in money to cause this.
As there are right now as well.
Yeah, and this is both religious and secular. So it is not only secular, it is also religious, obviously. There are certain sympathies everybody has their own way. That is how the world functions. Now, I, as an individual, like to think of the solutions.
Yeah.
Ki kya karna chahiye? Worship Bhairava.
That's it.
That is the first step. That's what I keep saying. It is not a coincidence that suddenly out of the blue, his worship awakens after in such a... 51 lakh japa is a huge amount of japa for an average people. These are not people who have been doing a lot of sadhana and all that. Okay, this is not possible normally. So worship of Bhairava, there are certain other things also that can be done. But let's see. These things will ensure that India is more or less protected. And the various negative forces that want to hamper India, their plans do not succeed. And very interestingly, I was thinking of it one day, India's formation chart has a combination of grahas. In this formation chart, eventually, if Sanatan Dharma, Hindu Dharma has to awaken, then Tantra has to rise. In this formation chart, Tantra will play a much more prominent and powerful role than the traditional Vedic methods. When and if it will happen or not, I don't know. But the chart is very clear. I mean, if it was an individual's chart, I would have said straight away, it was an individual, say XYZ individual's birth chart, and he would ask me that what sadhana or practice I should do, I would have straight away directed him towards Devi Upasana and preferably in the tantric manner and all that.
Okay, I am a big fan of data.
Mm.
And data governs all my decisions, effectively, when it comes to my career. There is a reason that the data shows us that people are interested in Rajarshi Nandi episodes. Okay. Of course, I attribute that to you, but more so I attribute that to your subject.
Okay, possible.
Even if we have someone like Parakom on the show, if we have anyone talking about Tantra, Robert Svoboda, those episodes get more views. It can't be a coincidence. People are naturally inclined
towards it.
So I think India is moving in that direction generally.
It's still too early to say. But in order to practically get this thing done, there has to be... Yeah, so it is to some degree, there will be an upsurge in Tantra later on. It will become more mainstream. And that is a good thing in my opinion, not a bad thing at all. again, this is all because I make this judgment based on the fact that the kind of way, sort of an exponential way in which Bhairava Sadhana has taken up. And people whom I would have least expected.
Yeah, same. In my own inner circles, right. Same.
So that cannot be governed by a human being so easily. Yeh chiz, you cannot force anybody into doing that. And especially Bhairava, of all. I would have understood had it been Krishna or something like that. Okay, they're toh already popular. Everybody does. Kuch na ho toh thoda bahut yeh kari leta hai. But Bhairava Upasana... At this rate, it is impossible for any human being to, you know, govern this and propel this forward. This is definitely what the deity wants. And I keep getting so many mails every day. My mailbox is flooded. People having various kinds of positive experiences. So I would rate that easily 70% of the people have some or the other positive experience, and that builds a connect with the deity. And they keep carrying on the japa for months, 6 months, 1 year and all that. That is remarkable. Because what effort have I put into this? Nothing. At the end of the day, if people say that I don't want to do Bhairav Sadhana, mat karo, mere ko kya aa raha hai? Your doing japa is not going to benefit me in any way. But people have stuck to it. And then when I see that, even in your case, let me just put it this way. When I had suggested the Bhairav Sadhana, I had no expectation that you will do it or not. I like that. I tell people, jo thought aata hai, main bata deta hun ki ye theek. But whether you do it or not, it's fine. I don't care one bit. If you don't do it, don't do it. But when I saw that you are actually doing it, that was a surprise moment for me. Because that I did not like every other day, are you doing it, not doing it? I don't care anyway. But then I realized that, something else must be working there.
Yeah. It was other factors. Yeah. You were the immediate reason.
Right.
A year before meeting, I had a powerful Kalbhairav temple visit.
Right.
Randomly. Didn't even go to the Sankat Mocha in Hanuman Mandir in Banaras. Mm. And Hanumanji is like my childhood's favorite.
Mm.
You know, but it's not just you, but you were the strong accelerator.
Mm.
As I think is the case with this series of podcasts that we've been creating. Right. How often does Bhairav come up even in our conversations on this show?
Mm.
You know, there's got to be something acting through us.
Correct.
So all in all, the deity is waking up. I think that's the bottom line that people have gotten.
That's absolutely sure.
That was the episode for today, ladies and gentlemen. We split up the conversation into two parts because it was just too heavy and too long to be released as one single episode. The second part will be released very, very soon. So stay tuned. And until then, if you want more of Rajarshi Nandi, I'll link you back to Level Supermind. Experience what it's like being guided in a meditation by this man. Experience what it's like working on the evolution of your own mind, working on the upgrade of your own mind performance. Always very special speaking to Rajarshi Nandi. This was only the second out of a 5-part series that we have built with him. He'll be back on TRS very, very soon. So stay tuned.